because people will laugh a lot. People, if you do have a big dream or a big goal, people will laugh. They think you're crazy. They say, oh, that'll never be implemented. That'll never work. That'll never happen. And in all honesty, that just pushes me further and harder to really want to make something big happen.
That was Brian Kornfeld, co-founder and president of Synapse Florida. We feature Brian in episode 2 of Innovate Jax, the podcast where we hear the stories of the innovators, creators, and entrepreneurs who will help elevate Jacksonville as a leading southeastern city of innovation. I'm your host, Kate Warnock. Now, on to the interview. Hi, everyone. This is Kate Warnock. I am thrilled to bring Brian Kornfeld to today's Innovate Jax podcast. Brian, you are a fascinating person. I'm so glad that you're here with us today.
Thank you for having me. This is a pleasure to be here.
Well, my pleasure. So first, we're gonna learn, Brian, kind of about what you do, who you are. We're then going to go into kind of your motivations. You are an entrepreneur. You're an enabler. You're a technologist and an efficiency expert. Looked at that right off your LinkedIn profile, but you're just a fascinating person. So let's hear what motivates you. And then we're going to close out with how you're working to put Florida on the map as an innovation hub. So you are just perfect here for Innovate Jax.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm always taken a little bit aback when reading about it. But a lot of it actually dives into what you said about the efficiency expert, because somehow I found a way to get a lot done quickly. I'm just one of those people, the way that I work. And so I get motivated just by seeing success, and whether it's success for me or for other people, and really enabling others to achieve success. I see a lot of paths and a lot of ways to help people work smart. There's been a lot where people do things a certain way because they're used to doing it a certain way. And that involves even in an innovation space or an innovation community. And in a market like the state of Florida, we have to think a little bit differently. We're very different than every other state of the union. We're kind of tucked away in our own little corner where we're set up as a peninsula where people actually have to make a concerted effort to go, I'll call it south of maybe even a place like Jacksonville, and to get to Orlando, Tampa, Miami. And so we've struggled in the past to really make ourselves connected, either within our markets, between the different markets in the state, or within the rest of the country. And that's left us behind. And other markets have passed us in terms of where's the best place to build a business, start a business, grow a business. And if you look at similar size markets, even like from Tampa Bay, such as Nashville, Austin, Boulder, San Diego, they have passed us, I would say, not by light years at this point, because now we're starting to really catch up. But we've struggled to really be that top-notch market. And so it really motivates me to tell the great stories of who we are and why people should start to be a part of here. We're starting to see a lot of changes for the better over the last 2 years.
Well, Brian, I mean, so that, what a great way to open this conversation. You really are a connector. And that's the thing that I think really drew me to you as the founder, a co-founder and president of Synapse Florida. That's how I first came across you. Earlier this year at the Synapse Summit, I got to attend this magnificent event at the Amalie Arena in Tampa, and I was just blown away by this. This was a 2 days of just throngs of people who were coming together, convened to really to learn, to discuss, to network, and really discover all of the different hubs of innovation that are happening across Florida. Why don't you tell us a little bit, you know, about Synapse and your role there in getting it started, and then we can learn more about the event.
Yeah, absolutely. So as I was talking, answering the first question, Synapse came about between myself and two other gentlemen, Mark Blumenthal and Andy Hafer. And it turned out that the three of us all were doing a lot of the same research and looking into the same questions. Which was why Florida, and particularly we're based out of Tampa Bay, but we realized later this needs to be about Florida, was struggling as a startup state, why it was so inefficient, why it was really hard to find the right resources. And I can even go back to my software development company, Popcorn Apps, where I geared towards people who had the first idea and they wanted to launch their first business. And there was another gentleman who is a friend of a friend. His name is Greg Ross Monroe. He's a friend now. A couple of years ago, we finally got connected and we finally met. And he looked at me because he's got a software company as well that was growing and starting to get corporate level clients, and said, "Where have you been for the last 3 years? I could have sent hundreds of thousands of dollars of revenue your way. We live a couple of blocks away from each other. It's not like we're far away and we network with the same people. We just never had come across each other." And that to me was a calling. That said that there is an issue here. And Mark could tell a story of how he was out one night for drinks with a gentleman named Hondo Gertz, who used to be head of procurement for Special Operations Command, which is a very large job with a budget of $43 billion. And so if you think of $43 billion, there's a lot you could do with it. $10 billion of that's in R&D. And he said he can't find anything in Florida for him to invest in. He has to go all over the world. And so we basically said, there's something missing. There's something wrong. And Mark and I actually ended up meeting very luckily and serendipitously, because I went to summer camp with his son-in-law, and his son-in-law invited me to a 4th of July party where Mark and I just started talking about the research I was doing. And it turned out he was doing the exact same research from an investor perspective. And so we said, why not just work on this together? Let's see if we can carve out the path. And so we started doing further research and diving in deeper. We started hearing the same narrative over and over. We started hearing that there's not enough money, there's not enough talent, there's not enough customers. It just didn't make any sense, though, because Mark worked at the time for an investment fund, Florida Funders. He still is a managing partner of Florida Funders. And instead, he's got money he's trying to put to work. He just can't find the right people to invest in. It's hard. It's inefficient. And then at the time, my wife was working for University of South Florida College of Engineering, talking about how her top-notch graduate students and her top-notch students all are leaving the state to go work in California and Chicago and New York because they don't want to work here because they don't know the good jobs here. But meanwhile, we were meeting with people like Arnie Bellini, former CEO of ConnectWise, who said, I can't find the talent here locally because there's no talent coming out of the universities. But they just didn't know about anything here local. And then if you start to look at the customers, really, as I said, Special Operations Command, they're hosted out of Tampa. You have the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, Disney in Orlando, all of the great business that's coming out of South Florida. There's customers everywhere around this state. It's just they don't know where to find. They are not participating with the early stage companies because the early stage companies aren't necessarily building the right products for them. And so what we set out to do was solve those problems. And we needed to solve those problems in four ways. One is to build a connective bridge, build a way for people to get the right connections, not just another LinkedIn, but some way that 24/7, 365 people can find the right connections, or we can get people under one roof where they can build those connections at a rapid pace. Two is spread the good news. Talk about the good stories. Talk about the wins. It's things that don't get talked about enough around the country or even here locally. There's been, in the last, I wouldn't say 2 or 3 years, multiple exits across the state that have been in the 9 or 10 figure range. And people just aren't talking about it. The only one that people talk about too much is Magic Leap. And they talk about it a lot because a lot of people think Magic Leap may fail. Now, I don't. I'm a big proponent of Magic Leap, and I think it could be a big game-changing technology. But naysayers are talking about them just on that realm. And we need to talk about the good things that are going on. Three is education, and not with to replace our educational institutions, because we have some top-notch institutions between University of Florida, UCF, USF, Miami, FSU, around the state. It's some of the core skills. It's how do you invest in tech? And teaching a real estate investor how to invest in tech, or what is blockchain and what's that going to mean to my future? There's certain things like that that people just don't know and they don't get and they haven't been able to understand that we need to make sure that we can work on and spread. And the last thing is corporate engagement, getting the companies involved, getting the companies to realize that they can innovate differently. And we learned a lot from Cincinnati and their thriving ecosystem. At first, they struggled. They struggled for a long time, and they were a market on the decline. And they their top businesses like Macy's and Procter & Gamble and Kroger all said, we're not going to go the same way as our competitors and die. We're going to do something and we're going to think differently. And they started really participating with the early stage companies, with the innovators and with the talent. And we are learning from them directly and really taking best practices so we could take it across the state. And so that's the problems we're solving, the what we're doing to solve them. And then the how is in three main ways. Number one is we built a web platform. And like I said, it can't just be another LinkedIn, but it helps to create these connections and curated connections, no matter what somebody's journey or path may be. Number two is we help to manage Synapse challenges, which are many X prizes where a mature company would come in and say, here's a set of prize money for the person or people or group or innovators who solved my problems. And then a lot of times they either get hired or they get follow-on contracts or companies get sprung out of this. So we have success story on success story from these challenges. And we've only really done a handful of them in the last year and a half. And then the last piece is our summit and our programming. And that's where everything comes together and under one roof and people get energized. And we had 83% of people say they come for the networking. And the standard anecdote was the general networking, best networking happens at conferences and bars. Well, here it happens inside the arena. And that happened because we can really set up in a way that people can bump into each other and create collisions that don't happen on a normal day-to-day basis through our markets.
Wow. Okay. So that's a lot to unpack. But that really, so what you just described in sum is, you know, the goal of Synapse Florida is, again, to, as you said in that, in a previous interview that I just loved, it's kind of to make those deals that happen through serendipity, those meetings that happen because you happen to be in the right place at the right time. Synapse wants to make those connections more intentional, was the word you used. And I just loved how democratizing that is. It means that you don't have to, you know, happen to be friends with someone who manages a 50 or what was the multi-billion dollar budget. You know, it could be that, you know, they engage with Synapse, and now because of this platform, because of the different challenges you're hosting, they now get to enter into a network that perhaps they would never have had access to.
Yeah, and that's a lot of what we need to do. It is make this in a way that it is intentional, that people can get connected, and people think of their journeys all very differently. And so similar to when somebody goes to kayak.com and they want to book a flight, everybody thinks about it very differently. I may go on there and say, I want to fly to Denver on the morning of July 4th, and it has to be between 8 and 10 a.m. that I leave Tampa, and I only want to fly United Airlines, and I don't really care how much I pay. Other people are going to care about price, some about schedule, some about stops or nonstops. Some, and it's all very variable. And so people think about that, their innovation journey, the same way. And no matter who you are, whether you're an investor or you're talent or you're a support organization like an accelerator or you're an entrepreneur or you're the government, people want to get to their path to success, and they may think about it based on a geographical thesis. So I only want to do business in Jacksonville, or I don't really care where it is in the state. I'll go as long as it brings me value. Some it's in a certain industry, your technology. Some it might just be fintech or blockchain. Some, especially some investors, are going to be technology agnostic. They just want the best value there. Some are going to look at age. I only want to work with early stage, first stage startups. So like my software company, Popcorn Apps, was really only geared to people that were in a very early stage, where other software development companies, they won't talk to you unless you have a budget of $1 million or more. Same with investors. Some investors are looking to invest in the $50,000 to $150,000 range, some $1 million to $2 million, some $5 million and up, some $50 million and up. So if you can get your geography, if you can get your technology, and you could get your stage, and then some people, there's affinity that matters. So some people only want to work with people who are tied to a certain university or tied to a certain support organization or a certain community. And so you can really create your own circle, how you want to design it. And by doing that, you've really enabled others in your circle that are within your circle to make the right connections, especially with you.
Brian, I'm curious, in as you were going through, you know, all of, you know, these opportunities that Synapse is providing for folks, you mentioned connecting organizations to, you know, how do you connect an organization that has a problem to a company, a startup or an entrepreneur who might be able to solve that? You know, are you seeing a real trend towards, you know, kind of legacy organizations looking for outside solutions? Or do you think that more folks are looking to solve those problems from within?
You're starting to see a little bit more of the trend of looking to outside solutions, because the outside solutions can be a little bit more innovative. And the reason they can be a little bit more innovative is they don't have the, I'll call it the barriers or the roadblocks that in a large organization would put up, just because they're so used to thinking a certain way or doing things a certain way, where the outside solution can really build what they believe to be the right thing, and then can really gear and pivot and shift it towards a customer to build for them and to solve their problem. A lot of corporate entities and people who have worked in corporate culture for 10, 20, 30 years may feel threatened by it, but in all honesty, they should love it. And if you feel threatened by it, really, I would say start to think twice about what you're doing and if it's the best thing and driving the most value to you. And if you're happy in what you're doing, or if you're just really working to work 8 to 5 or 9 to 5 or whatever it may be, to go paycheck to paycheck, bringing in innovation, doing things differently, recreating the wheel, it enables you to do more. It enables you to go further. It's not about cutting jobs. It's not about cutting out core competency or making a certain person or group obsolete. It's about enabling the people to do the right things. And I've fought this battle a lot, even going back to my Six Sigma black belt days, where I would come in and interview people, and people thought that I was basically interviewing them for their job, and they would be scared and guarded. It's hard to really communicate that value that, no, I'm not interviewing you for your job. I'm enabling you to move on and upward and do more and better. And really, in a sense, almost get promoted to doing work that is better for the company and better for you and to make you happy. It makes things more efficient. Most companies work at an efficiency rate of about 20 to 25%. And when people hear that number, they're kind of astonished. And some go to, oh, well, the internet, everybody's distracted. Email is a waste of time. There's a lot of things that build into it. It's been this way for years on end. That most companies really do work at a 20 to 25% efficiency rate measured scientifically. By bringing in innovation, by bringing in that level of improvement, by thinking differently, you're enabling that number to be more efficient so you can deliver and drive better results.
You know, that's such a compelling statistic, is you know, about the efficiency and how you're introducing innovation really can revamp and revitalize a current workforce. But, you know, it gets to another theme that I have, you know, picked up in reading your profile and work about you. You're really very, you have a very strong opinion about confidence and the role that that plays in an individual being a leader, whether they're in a leadership role or not. You know, they might just be leading their own career. How is it that you help bridge that for folks who might have that reluctance about adopting a new technology, a new process, something that really is going to disrupt what they've known, what they might really have even excelled at, and now they're being told, well, that's not enough. Now you need to pivot. You need to go this different way. You might have an outside competitor that is threatening your business model if you don't embrace innovation or take in a new technology or new things. You may not be here tomorrow to compete. How is it that you help set that stage to enable, you know, not just in introducing what that technology is, but helping folks take that walk towards that confidence step of, I can do this myself?
Confidence is a very much of a mental makeup. And usually all it takes is one small win to really build the confidence. And it's almost like pushing the boulder at getting that boulder moving for the first time. It's hard to do. It's hard to do for a lot of people. There's a lot of self-reflecting. And a lot of people who are trying to get towards big goals. So a couple of things that I try to do is say, if you're going to take a big goal, break it down one little thing at a time and take that one step towards the win. And for me, my big game-changing moment in my life in terms of confidence, I was early in my career in business school. I already was an engineer, moving up the ranks of engineering management, but I still shied away from a lot. I kind of sat in the back. And when I got into my MBA program, I sat down the first day for lunch, and I sat down with a partner from PricewaterhouseCoopers, a guy who ran his own commercial HVAC company that was doing seven figures of revenue a year, only a couple of years in, and a guy who's a senior vice president at a company that did fire alarm systems around the world for large commercial buildings. And I was intimidated. I was very intimidated because my title said manager, project manager versus senior vice president, CEO, or partner. And I kind of didn't say a heck of a lot. And I went home the first day and said, I don't want to do this. I have an opportunity now, and it's 2 short years, and I may embarrass myself some, but what's the worst that's going to happen if I step up tomorrow and I start talking and I start leading? What's the very worst thing that's going to happen in these next few years? Because I could have gone through that class and maybe been laughed at over the course of 2 years, but then I would have gone and never had to see the same people again. And it would have been some long weekends, but I would have survived. The sun's still going to come up tomorrow. So I went into the next class and I said, I'm going to lead this presentation and I'm going to drive this conversation just once, pilot it, see what happens. And all of a sudden it happened once. And then it started happening again and again and again, to the point where when we were graduating, we had a party for our class that the faculty had put on for us in a room with our families and our spouses and our kids. And the head of the program gave a little speech. And then they said, does anyone from the student class want to give a speech? And everybody said, Brian, your turn. And I said, oh, okay, well, now I'm being looked at as this leader. And it was kind of transformational to me, because I took the one step. And so that's the one thing that I really like to tell people to do, is take that one step, try the one thing, put your neck out there a little bit, try to think about what's the worst that's going to happen if you do this. Because oftentimes the worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to end up in the same place that you would have been in had you not tried. And if that's the case, then you're really, you're playing with house money at that point, to take the gambling term, because you're either going to win or you're going to stay on the same path. And if you're ever in that situation, take that risk, make that effort, give that extra shot, so you're not sitting back worrying years from now about what if I had taken that shot. The other piece of confidence that I take, that once you're in the position for it, is to stand by your convictions. Now, be humble and understand that some people may push back and be open to some conversation. My very first job when I was in high school, I was a hockey ref, even in Tampa. Yes, there was ice hockey there. And the thing they tell hockey refs, and it's a little bit of a secret that I probably shouldn't reveal, but that's okay. They tell you two things as you get to the upper levels. One is always be in the right position, be in the right spot on the ice all the time. And two is always be confident in your calls. Because if you're in the right position and if you're confident, nobody can really argue with you and tell you that you were wrong, because nobody could see what you saw at that time. And at the end of the day, you're the one with the whistle. So if people are going to argue, it's on them. Always have that conviction. Always be sure of yourself. Now, you can go back and course correct later, but when you do make decisions, make confident decisions and go with it. See what happens.
Oh my gosh, that's so inspiring. Brian, you know, it's so nice to see someone who really does embrace that opportunity to be decisive. I think it's very easy sometimes to see leadership hide almost and diffuse that that ability to make a call on something because they don't want to accept that blame. But what you're saying is that it's so much more powerful and so much more, it's such a larger opportunity if you are decisive, if you make that preparation, take that time to really, you know, position yourself in the best possible way, be in that right place, be decisive, make that call. You're just going to really go so much farther in your career.
Yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't always have to be like a power presidential thing, a good piece of advice that I've gotten in the past is that the difference between a leader and a shepherd is a shepherd always has to be out front. But being able to be decisive and taking those small risks and being able to communicate the why behind it can make the biggest difference in the world. And it's a really little thing to do, and it's a very little mindset shift. But sometimes taking that first risk and stepping out there the first time, it can be lonely and it can be scary, and a lot can happen, but it also can yield dividends on dividends.
Fantastic. All right. Well, let's pivot a little bit back towards, you know, you are a native Floridian. As you said, you left the state. You actually have this fascinating background. You are an aerospace engineer. You work for Northrop Grumman in LA. You know, and spent a lot of time, I presume, on the West Coast. You got your graduate degree out of Michigan, was it?
My undergraduate degree in Michigan. I came back to Gainesville and got my first graduate degree at the University of Florida.
Got it. Okay, so you've lived around, but you decided it was a decision to come back to Florida, to the Tampa area in particular, and call that home base. What was it that drew you back here? And then let's talk a little bit about where you've seen Tampa grow and what's helped it really evolve in the time that you've been back.
I would say part of it was family and wanting to be around my family. I did grow up in Florida and wanting to be near family. And being a three-hour time zone change away, it can be hard and it can be draining to keep in touch and to be close with family from there. But Florida was always home to me. There was always something special about Florida. And I had a great life in Los Angeles. I met my now wife out there. I lived across the street from the beach. I had a next door neighbor that was, I'll call a C-list, D-list, well, maybe, or at point in career, B-list celebrity. It's one of those, like, the LA dream type life. There's a lot of possibility out on the West Coast. But it's not home. It's not right. And in Florida, it's a growth area. There's an opportunity to be a big fish, which is something that you don't get that opportunity to do very often. In a place like LA or a place like San Francisco, you pretty much either have to be a multi-billionaire or an actor, actress to be able to do anything or to make a name for yourself. And here in Florida, there's a lot of way to grow. There's a lot of way to build a network. My wife and I, we talked about going back to LA a couple of years ago or maybe even San Francisco. And that's what it ended up winding down to was my career was growing and our careers were both growing. And we had that growth opportunity here where I could get a great job out on the West Coast and probably make a significant amount of money. But the home, the lifestyle, we get to live where people vacation. It's hard to top this. It really is. And it's hard to explain to a lot of people because a lot of people say, oh, well, you don't get the seasonal change and you have hurricanes. But I'm very happy with summer 10 months of the year. It's what I'm used to. I love being able to go to the beach in February while people in Chicago are complaining about negative 30 degree wind chills. I'm going to take that 11 times out of 10. One of the other things, too, with Florida is I think Florida generally gets a bad rap nationally. We are kind of stuck out on our own, and the news pushes back on us in ways that we don't necessarily deserve. And the prime story and example of this, before I moved back 10 years ago, I was talking to the gentleman who's now my father-in-law, and I mean, he's a great guy. I love him to death. But at the time, you know, we're still getting to know each other a little bit and talking about the move back. And he looked at me and he goes, so question for you, Brian, what do you do about the alligators? And I looked back at him and I said, Jeff, what do you mean? And he goes, well, you know, when you're like walking down the street or you're walking the dog or and an alligator starts chasing you, what do you do about it? And I looked back sideways. Wow. And I said, what do you think of Florida? Like, who do you think that we are? Now, I've seen a ton of alligators on golf courses or in lakes, and they keep to themselves. I've never heard of anybody really being chased by an alligator just in normal broad daylight. I know they're out there, but the narrative of Florida is that we're hurricanes and alligators and the Florida man and retirees and all of these things that just have such a negative connotation when really it's beautiful beaches, it's warm and friendly people. You have that mix of Southern hospitality and growth. And everybody wants to see other people succeed. You don't have that necessary cutthroat competition of holding people back that you have in other places. And it breeds a lot of great opportunity. There's a reason 1,000 people are moving to the state every day. And there's a lot that can really go on for everybody.
Absolutely. That quality of life is just, you know, it's an extraordinary thing, you know, and even if, you know, summer 10 months out of the year, but sunshine 12 months out of the year. And that I think is hard to put a price tag on, not to mention no state income tax and, you know, and other opportunities. You know, I think so many cities are really looking to bolster, you know, their position. They want to attract and retain that best talent. So like you said, Florida is almost like a greenfield space compared to perhaps some of those other more developed, more advanced economies. You know, you really can make your mark here, can't you?
Yes, you absolutely can make your mark here. All anybody really needs to do is put up that level of effort, really try, really work to get connected, utilize the resources that are around because people will want to help and you will find your way. As we talked about with the confidence, it's all about just taking that first step. And sometimes that first step is the hardest. And there's always a million reasons to say no to something. Sometimes you just really have to get over each one of those reasons to say no and realize that they're just fears, and fears can be overcome. And everybody who has been successful has had those fears in the past, and they're the ones who've overcome it and tried and failed and tried and failed and tried and failed and tried and failed and worked themselves out until they finally found their way to success.
Right, right. Well, Brian, I'm interested. Let's drill down a little bit into Florida itself. You know, as I said, when I was at Synapse Summit earlier this year, I think that Tampa was just putting its best foot forward, so much on display. And I'm wondering, you know, between Tampa and Jacksonville, we have a lot of similarities, right? We're both military towns. We both have NFL teams. We've seen explosive growths, you know, in our population. But where would you say, you know, Tampa really has excelled, and what opportunities might there be in Jacksonville in putting its best foot forward too?
Tampa has really excelled in a couple of places, and one is we had some leaders really step up and put their money where their mouth is and say, we are going to do this and this is going to happen. And the prime example in Tampa and Tampa Bay is Jeff Finnick, the owner of the Tampa Bay Lightning, working with Bill Gates on a $3 billion real estate development and starting to now invest in for the last few years in tech companies, early stage companies, promoting companies like PeerFit, which is really a statewide a win of an organization with people who live up in Jacksonville as well as part of their core team, and building an innovation hub, a place where people can go to, that logical first step where people can start their journey. That really helps a lot. And that when the leaders start to show themselves, people then will follow and people will say, oh, we can do this here. And as I said earlier, we have 1,000 people that move to Florida every day. And people aren't just moving to Tampa. People are moving all over the state. And Jacksonville has a lot of great growth going on. There's some very big things happening in Jacksonville. There's some leadership organizations with Shad Khan and what he's doing, Peter Rummel and OneSpark. And I've heard so many great things about what happened with the Street Fest. Florida Blue and GuideWell, the Mayo Clinic, the military up in Jacksonville, the Naval Air Station. I've been to Jacksonville over the last few years a couple of times, and I'm starting to see a lot of big growth going on in the largest geographic city in the country. There's some good opportunity there, and Jacksonville has one prime opportunity that they really can take advantage of, and that's they are that northernmost, I'll call it hub of the state, where they are that close to Georgia, that close to Atlanta, and they can really start to help to bridge that connection. They also have some good university systems, and they're very close to University of Florida, where that tie-in, leveraging the research, taking the resources out of Gainesville, and not trying to steal the resources, obviously, but there's many people who graduate from Gainesville and see it as a college town and want to leave University of Florida and go to a larger market. Jacksonville is right there, and there's some great chances there for Jacksonville to take some growth companies that have gotten to what could be potentially their max in a city like Gainesville and propel them to the next level, especially if they're in some key focus areas, particularly key focus industries like a healthcare, digital health, or like a military, where they can have some of those large scale customers, like the companies that I had previously mentioned.
Absolutely. And, you know, a brief shout out here, if I can, to our own founder of Furcura, Craig Mandeville, himself, a transplant from Austin, has lived here in Jacksonville for a number of years. And he has deliberately built this, you know, we are a health technology company, and he is very much invested in using local talent. So many of our employees are graduates of University of North Florida. I myself am from New College. You know, he really does believe in providing opportunities for some of our best local talent. And, you know, again, it's why he is so much, you know, such a believer and a champion and evangelist of Jacksonville that we've created this podcast, really to help connect those dots and let folks understand who lives here, the amazing things that are happening here. And like yourself, just creating that energy and that new kind of like center of gravity to help keep, you know, and retain that best talent and foster opportunity right here in the state.
Yeah, and the talent thing, it is one of the most important things that we can do. We really do have to communicate with our talent what an advantage it is to live and work in this state, especially starting in the middle school, high school, and university levels, and talk about the great jobs that are out there. There's actually a company out of Central Florida that does artificial intelligence and logistics for over $35 billion worth of products in any given year. And nobody would really even know about what they're doing in terms of that. You and I know them as Publix, and they're most people when they're going to college are not thinking, oh, I want to go work for Publix, because they think that would be either bagging groceries or especially if they're working in the high tech spaces, trying to get high tech jobs. But they're doing it. It's right there. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, just right in our backyard, are one of the NFL leaders in virtual reality and trying to bring virtual reality and augmented reality into the living room for streaming. And they're really trying to work with the league on doing that. And most people would not know that. They see them as a football team. So there's a couple of things in communicating the news of the stories of what's going on around the state, the wins that are taking place that we need to do. And some of the core education, it's almost like a real life 101 of what it's like to live in other markets and how to make a living wage. I was listening to Jason Calacanis a couple of weeks ago talk, and he's a Silicon Valley investor. And he was talking about why it's so nice to build companies in a place like Florida, because in San Francisco, $6,000 a month gets you a closet to sleep in. And that's, I mean, that's a heck of a lot more than my mortgage for a four-bedroom house in one of the nicer areas of Tampa.
I sometimes feel like folks need to leave the state to prove themselves. And it's only once they've lived away that they've realized, wait a minute, you know, the standard of living, the opportunities that were back home, why did I go? I have found that with a number of my friends who, you know, flew the nest and then returned. And, you know, fortunately, there is so much dynamic growth here. I think, you know, folks don't necessarily need to move away, even just moving to a different part of the state. They can prove themselves, you know, looking at Miami and they're a global hub, you know, for finance and business really out of Latin America. I think they've even been called the, you know, the capital of Latin America. There's just enormous opportunity here.
Absolutely. And if you look at Emerge America as the conference that took place in April, it was 12 to 15,000 people or so. I have not gotten final statistics from their leadership, but it's all about doing business with Latin America. And there's so many potential customers. There's so much potential money to be gained and earned by doing that. And Miami Airport, you can get anywhere in Latin America from Miami Airport on one flight, pretty much. It's incredible the opportunity that's there for growth, for business growth, and for success. I would highly recommend it to anybody who has that chance.
So, Brian, recently you just gave the commencement address to a local Tampa high school. You know, so taking that message down to you know, the middle school and high school, level, what kind of messages did you share and what were your applause lines?
One of the key messages that I shared is work towards your passions. And sometimes you have to take jobs that you don't necessarily want to work and progress in your career, but keep those passions alive, keep those dreams alive, keep working on the side projects, the side hustles, figure it out. Because when you're working on those passion projects, that's not real work. That's fun. Yes, you have to work hard at it, and there's some longer days at night, but all of a sudden it'll be 6-7 o'clock at night before you even know it. And that's one of the reasons why I have been loving what I'm doing personally with this, because I'm so passionate about the state of Florida and promoting a better future for the state of Florida, that there are days when I will be working until who knows what time. And it seems like it should be 2 p.m. So keep those passions alive. And the other thing that I talked about a lot was how high people should aim. Some people will say, don't try, because if you don't try, you can't fail. Some will say, well, try for little things. And some will say, go swing for the fences. To me, I like to say dream big, but do it in little bits at a time. There's a quote that I like to live by. As we said, my undergraduate work was at the University of Michigan, and from their football coach, Jim Harbaugh, he said, if your friends aren't laughing at your dreams, you aren't aiming high enough. And that to me always has resonated, because people will laugh a lot. People, if you do have a big dream or a big goal, people will laugh. They think you're crazy. They say, oh, that'll never be implemented. That'll never work. That'll never happen. And in all honesty, that just pushes me further and harder to really want to make something big happen and take place. And it's really fun to see when that can take, when it can happen, because when you get to success, you're the one who just sits there with a giant smile on your face, knowing what just happened has been something incredible.
It's a perfect validation, isn't it? So, all right, Brian, close us out. Tell us where Synapse Florida is going the next 12 to 18 months. What do you see?
There's a couple of big things that are coming up in our pipeline over the next 12 to 18 months. But one of our big things that we have in our 12-month vision is state expansion. So we started, we're a nonprofit startup in a sense. So we started in the Tampa Bay market here. We've done a lot here in this market, and we're working towards a critical mass. But state expansion is very important to our mission, and making sure that we have the right people inside the tent around the state. And it could be so that people in Tampa and Orlando and Jacksonville and Miami can get connected to each other, or people just in Jacksonville can connect with each other in a more efficient way. Again, it's based on everybody's journey. It's based on everybody's thesis and what they want to do and who they want to be and what path they want to take. But we want to open more of those doors, because the more the doors that are open, the more opportunity that there is for everybody.
Love it. Okay, so where should folks go to find information about Synapse?
If you want to find out more about Synapse, go to synapsefl.com. That was synapsefl.com. And you can learn more about us, our events, our platform. You can join the Synapse Connect platform right there very easily. Learn more about challenges upcoming. We have some great ones upcoming, including a statewide challenge that's going to have 4 different winners from around the state. So stay tuned. Join our mailing list so you get the information first and foremost. And we'll be announcing our Summit 2020 dates probably in the July timeframe.
Perfect. We will make sure that we have all the links available for our listeners in our show notes. Well, Brian Kornfeld, this has been just a tremendous conversation. And thank you so much for sharing all of your insights and your energy and your passion for really, really making Florida just known for a lot more than alligators in our talk today.
Thank you very much. Thank you for helping me to share the message.
Absolutely. All right. Well, all the best to you, and hope to see you at Synapse Summit, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Innovate Jax. For show notes and a list of all our episodes, go to Forcura.com/InnovateJax. Know a Jacksonville changemaker who'd make a great podcast guest? We want to hear from you. Message us at InnovateJax@Forcura.com. Thanks for listening.